Let us turn to the Word of God and the book of Psalms, Psalm 122. Psalm 122, we shall read from the beginning. A song of degrees of David. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And with the Lord's help, it is especially verses 6 to 8 that we would consider this evening. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And so on. When we first began to consider the psalm, we noticed in verses 1 and 2, the call to worship, the joy of worship, the place of worship. And in verses 3 to 5, we notice the unity, testimony, and authority in the church. God's people are united to Christ and to one another, and their going to the house of God for public worship is a testimony and a witness to their identification with Christ and his cause. And they approach Christ, who sits king and head of his church. They submit to him who rules and who reigns over all and for the best interests of his people. And in the words that we have before us, beginning with verse 6, we have also the peace of the church, which is the theme that is found in these three verses. The felicity and the prosperity of the church, and the duty to seek the peace of the church. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Well, do we love the church? They shall prosper that love the church. The people who love the church will prosper. Is that our desire, that the church would have peace? That with the psalmist we would say, Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. And when we think of the members of the church, are they our brothers? Are they our sisters? Are they our friends in the church? For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, Peace be within thee. And the Lord helping us will notice three things, and that is, first of all, as we look at verse 6 to be the words that guide us to consider the rest of the verses, we notice the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem, and secondly, the prayer for peace. First, the peace of Jerusalem, and secondly, the prayer for the peace of Jerusalem, and thirdly, the promise of prosperity. They shall prosper that love thee. Well, we begin with the peace of Jerusalem. As we considered last time, Jerusalem is and was the capital of Israel. And it was the site where the temple was located. It was the place where God manifested himself to his people. We also notice that Jerusalem is the symbol of the church. It is called the city of God. And in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1, it is called the holy city. We read there, Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Is it our desire to be pure and holy, that we would seek the grace of sanctification? Only if that is our desire can we consider ourselves members of the true, invisible church, the spiritual Jerusalem, the holy city. in the holy city, there shall no more come into it the uncircumcised and the unclean. A picture of those who are excluded from God and his people. But if we desire to be among the saints, the people of God, in the city of the great king, we need to be holy. We need to seek holiness, pursue it. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. A call to be holy. If we profess to be God's people, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. How can we be holy? Well, we're to seek holiness from the one who can give it, and that is Christ. Through faith in Christ, as the apostle speaks of the Gentiles, that their hearts were purified by faith, faith in Christ. The key to holiness is faith in Christ. We must go to the source. We must go to the blood of Christ that we may be sprinkled and cleansed with a renewed desire to serve the living God. That is the way to have peace. And the psalmist is praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And there is no doubt that there is an allusion to the meaning of the name. As we noticed last time, what does Jerusalem mean? This is something that parents can ask their children and ask them again and again until they can remember it. Jerusalem means foundation of peace. At least that is the most probable meaning. Jeru meaning foundation and Salem meaning peace. And we noticed what the true foundation of the church is. And that Christ is the foundation of true peace and therefore the foundation of the church. There is real peace in the church, and peace between God and his people, which is founded upon the blood and righteousness of Christ. No true peace apart from him. The peace of God's people is founded upon Christ and what Christ has done for them in the shedding of his blood, his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross, whereby he satisfied divine justice. And as we noticed on Sabbath evening, what satisfies divine justice pacifies the conscience. If you need peace, and we all need peace, where are we going to get it? Some are rushing to the pleasures of the world. They will turn to that which appeases the carnal mind, that which gives them an escape. They can drown their sorrows by indulging the flesh and getting all the pleasures of sin, which are only for a season, as the apostle says. Moses chose the reproach of Christ and rejected the pleasures of sin, which are for a season, because if you look to the world to drown your sorrows and get pleasure, your sorrows will come back. Your misery will come back with a vengeance, and you only increase your sorrows by giving yourself up to the pleasures of the world. But if you go to Christ, you will get peace. And though you will have trouble in the world, and there's nobody in here on earth that is completely free of trouble, yet you will have real and solid peace, a solid basis and foundation of peace, and that is Christ. And that will never be taken from you. There is peace in believing. Now, of course, the word peace, especially as it is used here, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This peace is very comprehensive, as we've spoken about this before, which means more than simply the absence of war, more than just hostilities have come to an end. The word peace brings before us the word that is closely related, and that is prosperity. Words seem to be very similar in the Hebrew, peace and prosperity. And the idea is well-being. The word peace includes health and joy. And where there is spiritual health, there will be rejoicing. As the psalmist says in Psalm 4, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart." It's through the Holy Spirit that God's people have true peace based upon the finished work of Christ. He puts it in their hearts. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Other people and societies prosper outwardly. Their riches increase because they are successful in business and so on. But the real prosperity of the church is spiritual blessedness when their hearts are full of grace and gladness because of the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. Is that what we desire tonight? That I would be assured that God loves me, and that matters more than a greater income and outward safety and security. That God loves me, that's the most important thing in my mind. That would be what we earnestly desire, the assurance of God's love and peace of conscience, willing to sacrifice anything to have that assurance of God's love, that peace of mind. In other words, avoiding that which interrupts our peace, willing to exercise self-denial to obtain and to continue and to hold on to that peace that God gives. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It begins, does it not, with the peace that God gives individuals, peace in their souls. Again, by the sprinkling of the blood, and they are reconciled to God, they have peace between themselves and God, and there will be peace between themselves and others. They will desire that peace. So the word peace is very comprehensive. It includes safety. And God is the safety and sanctuary of his people. This peace includes harmony. God's people are required to live peaceably with one another, that they would speak the same things, because we worship the same Lord and King. And when the apostle exhorts to maintain peace with one another, he gives them the motivation and the reason for it, which is that there is one body and one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So why be divided amongst yourselves if your Lord is one and the faith that you hold to is one? Why should you be divided if Christ is not divided? And we're required to praise God with one heart and one mouth. The apostle exhorts to peace. The God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. This is Romans chapter 15 and verses 5 to 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And peace includes the idea of fulfillment. And that is included in the concept of peace, that we would be enabled to fulfill our calling. What God has called us to be, we would seek grace to be. He has called us out of darkness to his marvelous light. We should walk in light and reject the works of darkness and seek to know the work of our generation. What does God desire me to do in my life and at this point in my life? That's what I desire, the will of God, and that he would bless my endeavors according to the direction that he shows me. Well, considering all that is included in peace, we may well say, what blessedness this is. And is this what we desire? Spiritual blessings in Christ, peace, desiring peace in our souls, peace in the church. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is what we should desire and long for. And that's what we notice secondly. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the prayer for peace. And this is, of course, a command. It's the duty of believers not just to think peace would be a nice thing to have. It's our duty to pray for it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. We're to pray for the spiritual health and well-being of the church, that God would grant it safety and protection to the church, that there would be harmony amongst God's people, that every believer would fulfill their calling and perform the work that God gives them to do and grow to spiritual maturity. That's the comprehensive nature of peace that we should pray for. This is what we should desire. This is what we should ask for. The word pray literally means ask. Ask for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Now, of course, this is absolutely necessary. We cannot expect this peace without prayer. James the Apostle says, ye have not because ye ask not. If we desire spiritual blessings, we need to pray for them. It's our duty to pray for them. God says in his word, when he promises to do great things for his people, in Ezekiel chapter 36, he says, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. He will add to their number. But surely it is our duty to pray for that God would cause the church to prosper. How? By adding to the church such as should be saved. We're to go to God for this. Why do we ask him? Because he is able to do it. He is almighty. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, are these the things that we are asking God for? Do we desire them? Now that's when there is true prayer, when there is desire for these blessings, because we see the need of them. We feel the need for these blessings. Do we see that peace in the church is a necessity? And this is clearly what the psalmist desires. He's not only telling others to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, verse 7, he is himself asking for this peace. Peace be within thy walls, he says, and prosperity within thy palaces. This is almost a command. It's put in the imperative in the Hebrew. Peace, let there be peace within thy walls. You can see how intense his desire is. He earnestly desires this peace for Jerusalem. And he says, peace within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. And you see this same combination in the psalm that we sang where the words are bulwarks and palaces. The word walls is the very same word for bulwarks or rampart, which is simply a protective barrier. It's something that encloses in a way of support and protection. And we read there in Psalm 48, verse 13, mark ye well her bulwarks, or walls, or ramparts. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. So the very combination is found there that we have here. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. And the church is surrounded by a great wall. And yes, we can think of it simply as the border and the parameters of the church, and the psalmist desires peace within the parameters of the church. But think about the walls of Jerusalem. They were strong. It was a strong fortification for protection. And that which surrounds the church is the love and care of God. God's power and loving kindness surrounds the church. And within the surrounding protection of God's loving embrace, the psalmist desires peace. Peace be within thy walls. And that is surely what God's people desire, to be surrounded by God's love and protection, and in the midst of the church, peace would prevail. Peace within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. And the palaces, if we look at Psalm 48, we have noticed before that the palaces refer to that which provides rest and secure dwellings that provide refreshing for the people within the palaces so that they may regain strength. And what we believe this can refer to is the means of grace, that which is within the church, the ordinances of God's house, the word and preaching of the word, prayer, praise, preaching, and sacraments, which we have considered before. But now notice that he desires that the palaces would have within them prosperity. Prosperity within thy palaces. And again, the word prosperity is very similar to peace, which means quietness and ease and prosperity. Prosperity. So that when we apply it to the means of grace, what do we pray for? What do we desire? What is the psalmist saying? Let there be peace within thy walls. Let there be prosperity within thy palaces. What we desire is the Lord's blessing upon the means of grace. That if the palace is a place of rest and repose and renewing of strength, we pray that it would be so for us. That when we come to the house of God and we hear the word preached, we would get a blessing for our souls, that our souls would be fed, and that we would be strengthened by the promises that we hear opened up in the preaching of the word, that when we praise the Lord, it would be a joyful thing to us, that when we join in prayer with one another, we would pour out our souls before God in earnest prayer and supplication. So here is David's desire. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. He is praying for peace and rest and prosperity within thy palaces. When we think of quietness and ease, it is the absence of distractions. And that is what we should be praying for, that all distractions, whatever hinders the spiritual prosperity of the church, would be removed. That there would be peace, that we may worship God without interference, without undue intervention from man or civil authority, that Christ would reign, that his authority would be supremely recognized, and that anything that would distract from the worship of God would be removed. And so, friends, we still have even outward things to be praying for, that all the limitations and restrictions would be removed and we can come back to worship of God without distraction. What a wonderful thing that would be. We're seeing progress in that, but let us continue to pray that all distractions would be removed and that also we would be free of the fear of persecution. We would worship God without distraction. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray that there would be peace and the enjoyment of the comforts of God's house without the fear that others would interrupt the worship of God. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. Well, before we move on, let us be thankful for prayer. And the encouragement for some who, for example, cannot preach, and some who may be so infirmed and so burdened with frailty that they cannot do the things that they would do, that they used to do. They cannot go out and instruct the ignorant or help the poor and so on, but they can still pray. They may be on a sick bed and they may not see anybody, but they can still pray to the Lord for the peace of Jerusalem. Why? Because they shall prosper that love thee. And that is what we consider thirdly. That if it is our real desire for the good of the church, then we can expect the Lord's blessing, the promise of prosperity. They shall prosper that love thee. Do we love the church? Those who love Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem, that love which is manifest by a desired endeavor for the good of the cause of Christ, they can expect the blessing of the Lord. They can expect spiritual prosperity. They already have the evidence of spiritual health, and they can expect more spiritual blessing. Even in outward things, if it's God's will, they can expect more of the blessing of God, even upon temporal things, as the house of Obed-Edom experienced. He was blessed when he housed the Ark of God when David had to stop his journey because there was a wrong way of transporting the Ark of the Covenant, and the journey had to cease for a while, but the place where the ark was, in the house of Obed-Edom, for 3 months the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. That was an encouragement. He did what he could for the cause of God and the world, and the Lord blessed him for it. And we can expect that, the blessing of the Lord, give and it shall be given unto you. You say the income is going down, never mind, give as much as you can, led by the Lord, because God will give to you. And we say these things to ourselves. We're basing this principle upon God's word. Be determined to do what you can for the cause of Christ, and the Lord will bless you. And it may not be in outward things, but he will bless your soul. They shall prosper that love thee. He will give you contentment. He will give you peace from the God of peace for all those who love the cause of Christ. So if we love the church, that's the question for us in conclusion. If we do, then we will pray for the church. That will be a priority in prayer, that God would convert sinners. He would bless the preaching of the gospel. He would build up his people. They would be edified. The Spirit would be poured out. He would build them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Remember, peace is not just the absence of hostility. It's spiritual health and well-being. It's the comforts. It's the vigor in the ways of the Lord. And if we love the church, then we will love the members of the church. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. And this is how you will view God's people. You will say, these people who profess to be God's people, these people who have the evidences they're God's people, those are my brethren. Look at them. These are my friends. You ask me who are my friends, I'll show you. They are the people of God. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. These are those who inhabit Jerusalem. They are the princes. The city of God is a city of palaces where kings are. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. And what an honor this is for the church to be referred to as a palace. As Spurgeon puts it, the smallest church is worthy of higher honor than the greatest confederacies of nobles. Think about the peace treaties of the world and alliances that have been formed between great nations. Well, the smallest church is more noble than that. It's where the palaces of God's people are. They are princes in all the earth. Is this our view of the church? Do we value and honor the church as the city of the great king, where all his people are, kings and princes? And do we desire the spiritual prosperity of the church? David says, for my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. He desired peace in the church. Why? For the good of his brethren. He cared for his brethren and friends in the church. He desired their good, and that's why he prayed for the peace of the church. So, yes, we pray for the peace because we want to enjoy peace, but we should pray for the peace of the church so that the members of the church would enjoy this prosperity, that they would have good, spiritual good for their souls. When the church is spiritually revived and has this peace and prosperity spiritually, it will be a means of blessing for others. And that should motivate us to pray earnestly for this, because how can we expect our loved ones in ties of the flesh, our relatives, to get a blessing, to be converted, to prosper spiritually, while the church is spiritually languishing, and there's divisions, and there's strife and discord? You can't expect the Lord's blessing upon the labors of the ministry when the members are at disagreement constantly. So the point is, when the church is thriving spiritually, that's when that's a motive to praying for it for the benefit of our friends and loved ones, and in this connection, especially the members of the invisible church. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. So, friends, we must not be indifferent to the peace and spiritual prosperity of the church. We need to do all we can to avoid contention, to seek meekness. Meekness is essential to maintaining peace. The Apostle Paul makes that so very clear when he speaks about walking worthy of the vocation, and that's getting peace, that we're fulfilling our calling, walking worthy of the vocation. With all lowliness and meekness, we should exercise humility with long suffering. We need that charity that covers a multitude of sins, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The objective is unity. And yes, the Holy Spirit is the author of unity, but he uses means, and one of the means for unity is peace. That there would be gentleness in conversation, we would be peacemakers, the children of God, all to reinforce and support the peace, or the unity, rather, of the church. Peace, peacekeeping, promotes unity in the church. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. We should seek peace. And Spurgeon says, while not at any price, yet at the highest price. It should not be at any price. We can't have peace at the expense of the truth, lower the standards, curtail the creed. No. But we seek peace at the highest price. And what is the highest price to you and me? Probably this, the great idol self. And we should deny ourselves in order to seek the peace and maintain the peace in the church. Well, friends, what a great blessing it is to enjoy peace in the church. But as we said, it begins in the soul. Do you have this peace tonight? Do you have this peace in your soul? The peace that is through the blood of the cross, the conscience cleansed, and relying on Christ for acceptance with God. There's no other way to have real, solid, lasting peace unless the foundation is good. The foundation of peace is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to go to the blood and rely on Christ and trust in Him for reconciliation to God, that you would be united to Christ, represented by Christ, in Christ. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. If you're relying on Christ and trusting in Him, depending on the blood, you are reconciled. There is peace between you and God, justified by faith in Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll have the peace that passeth all understanding, founded on Christ and Him crucified. May this be your foundation and mine tonight. Jesus' blood and righteousness. May the Holy Spirit draw us, and may Christ be precious to us, and may we seek the peace of the spiritual Jerusalem. And may the Lord bless His word. Let us pray.